Today we're starting our series called Favorites, where we're taking a look at some of our favorite scriptures in the Bible. Today we've got our friend Adam Niven joining us to share his favorite scripture, how it's been a part of his journey and helping to shape him become who he is. You might recognize Adam. He's on our worship team. He plays the drums, and he's also done one of our Magnificent Seven talks. And so I hope that you'll lean in. I hope that you'll press into what he has to say about some really cool scriptures today. I'm just going to take a few minutes and pray for Adam before he jumps in with his scripture. Father God, thank you. God, thanks for your word. Thanks that we can come together wherever we're at and dive into your word, because your word does transform us. It helps to shape us. It helps us to become who you designed us to be. And I pray that Adam's words, God, would just meet with the power of your word, God, to help shape us, to open up things that maybe we've never seen before, God, and enter into a deeper relationship with you. And so we thank you for today. We thank you for Adam, and we look forward to what you're going to do in our hearts and through our community today. In your name I pray, amen.
Hi, my name's Adam. Happily married to Claire, my wife, for nearly 21 years. Got four wonderful kids, and you might recognize me from behind the drum kit on Sundays. And here come some of my favorite verses.
Okay, I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 2:12 to 3:6. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks to be God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to or from you? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are the letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on the tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
So my wife Claire was given this bottle of perfume at least 10, maybe even 15 years ago now. And I don't know if you can see, but this bottle's still nearly full. Like, what's the story with that? Well, you see, Claire was given this bottle of perfume by her mum because one day she remarked to her mum how she liked the smell of her perfume. You see, for Claire, it reminds her of her mum. It reminds her of their connection, their relationship, the journey they've travelled. But the problem is, when I smell this perfume, it reminds me of Claire's mum as well. And I love her dearly, and she's a great lady, but it's kind of meant that when we're going out on special occasions when Claire might wear perfume, it's not normally her first choice. You know, this is whole idea of smell and how it can transport us and how it can move us is what made me really dive in and dig deeper in this passage a number of years ago. Because in this passage, we've just heard Paul talking about being Christ's fragrance, the aroma of Jesus being spread. And it's interesting to look at what Paul is kind of saying here. You know, scent is so powerful. It can transport us, like I said. You smell those onions cooking and all of a sudden you're hungry. But is that what Paul's getting at? You know, it's really interesting as he writes this letter and this second letter to the Corinthians that we have. He's writing to defend his ministry. You see, at the end of his first letter, he told the church in Corinth, after writing a letter to sort some things out, that he was going to come visit. And it wasn't a short stay visit, it was a long visit. But as he writes this second letter, he hasn't got there yet. And in the meantime, it seems there's some other teachers that have kind of come into the church and They've turned up with some letters of recommendation that are sort of saying, hey, maybe that Paul guy, he's not so trustworthy. You should trust us instead. So Paul's writing to defend this. He's obviously not in Corinth. And where this passage starts, he's saying, I went to Troas and I was preaching there, but even there I didn't have peace of mind. I couldn't find Titus. And so I've gone on to Macedonia, and he's kind of outlining where he's been. And in the middle of that, he just stops and says, what? Like, this doesn't matter because I'm being led in this triumphant procession by Christ, and he's spreading his fragrance everywhere. You know, this picture would have been really relevant to the readers of this letter in that day. What Paul's referring to is a victory march of returning soldiers through a city. And as they would do that, they would move through the city, they would lead captives, and people would be burning incense, and that fragrance would spread throughout the city. And Paul says, in some translations you'll see, I've been made a captive of this procession. I can't help but be drawn in to this procession of Jesus. And he refers to the fragrance being a fragrance of life and a fragrance of death. You see, for the victors of that day, when they smelt the incense permeating the city, it was a smell of hope. They knew that they were victorious. But for those who were defeated, their lives were forever changed. It's kind of a strange picture. It might feel like a bit of a violent one at times. But see, what Paul is really drilling down into is Christ, and the grace of Christ is victorious and it brings life. And Paul says, I've just been caught up in this procession and I'm spreading this fragrance throughout the city. You know, that's where it starts. It's similar to where Jesus talks about the parable of the field with the treasure. When the person finds that treasure in the field, they go away and they sell everything they have to take possession of that field. They're captured by this new kingdom, this new covenant that's brought in Jesus, the grace of Jesus. And Craig and Geordie, they're going to sing for us now, and it's going to remind us of the grace that comes in Jesus.
To be loved.
So here we are in the middle of this picture of this triumphant procession. And it's like Paul's going, I'm just being led along and I'm spreading Jesus' fragrance everywhere. And then it's like he realizes, but am I now trying to big note myself? Maybe that's what his readers would think. Are we kind of trying to big note ourselves in this? Do we need you, the church in Corinth, maybe to write us some letters like these other traveling teachers seem to bring with them, saying, hey, listen to these guys. And so Paul pivots on this picture now to this idea of letters being brought as recommendation. And it's interesting what he says, because he says, no, we don't need a letter because you are our letter. The Spirit has been busy writing on your hearts. The Spirit's been busy writing you onto our hearts. And the Spirit's been bringing life in this same moment. And again, we see Paul carry through this theme of life and death. He unpacks this way more in the book of Galatians. So if you want to dig a bit deeper, you can go there. But when Paul starts to point to, hey, these letters are being written on not stone tablets, but heart tablets, he's contrasting the law that came with Moses against the work of the Spirit in people's lives. It's the exact same thing he does over in Galatians, where he says the law had a purpose to be there for a time. But once Christ came, and once the Spirit was transforming lives, and once that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, thankfulness, gentleness, self-control, once that's transforming lives, no one's busy writing laws against those kinds of things. You know, this is life-giving, the Spirit at work. And so this fragrance that Paul's spreading is the fragrance of the Spirit of Jesus. And he wraps this whole sort of section up by saying, that's why I can't claim anything in this whole process. You know, arguably the greatest missionary, evangelist, the guy that wrote a huge portion of the New Testament, is going, I don't need a letter of recommendation because I've got nothing to claim except for Jesus. Why I love this passage is because it's so encouraging to me. Paul stops in the middle of explaining his journey and he says, you know what? Doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't matter my circumstances. None of that matters, because when I've been captured by the grace of Jesus, no matter where I go, what I'm leaving behind is his fragrance, the fragrance of his Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of those fruit. And I can trust that the Spirit will be busy writing these letters on the hearts of others that come to smell that fragrance of Jesus. And so I hope this week you're encouraged, that as you go through your week, you be captivated by Jesus afresh and anew. And by being captivated, wherever you go and whatever happens, you'll leave the fragrance of Jesus behind. So thanks for joining us, and I hope you have a great week this week.